It's that time of the year again when your nice hosts take a few weeks off from new episodes. They'll be back at the beginning of March, but until then, we've picked out a few of our favorites from the past year to keep you entertained each week while we're on hiatus.
While you wait, you can get these and all our episodes ad-free, plus exclusive bonus audio that's pretty nice too. Patreon.com/nicegamesclub.
This week's Nice Replay is episode 321, Cat Time, originally published September 7th, 2023. For this Nice Games Jam, I challenged the clubhouse to come up with a game that would encourage my mother to play with her cats.
Have you handed off the game to her yet?
No, I wanted... Okay, here's peek behind the curtain. Oh, it is just after Thanksgiving now, and I wanted to be like, here, we got you this thing for Christmas.
Oh, okay. Smart. Okay.
Yeah.
Dang, that means we made your Christmas present for you?
Yeah, you did.
Well, you're welcome.
Dale's running a racket through the clubhouse.
Well, listen to this. Well,
I'm also giving her a free copy of Glom.
I mean, at the end of almost every Nice Games Jam, we all look at each other and go, this thing's got legs.
Mm-hmm.
And this one was really interesting because of how different it was as a product.
Yeah.
And how equally excited we were to move forward with it.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, I don't think we're going to, but somebody should.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The other thing I was going to mention is that, you know, obviously my mom will get this for Christmas when she has a lot of time off from work and can play with her cats.
Right.
But also, some of our Patreon content is us playing Nice Games Jam games.
Oh, that's very sneaky ad in there. Nice job.
You're welcome. See, I pay things back.
So, Steven, you're going to talk about another game jam.
Yes.
But let's use that as a good transition topic into the proper game jam.
Okay.
I'll go first with my bit of meta.
Sounds good.
Which is that I think when listeners hear this, I will probably be in Toronto. Mm-hmm. Don't do the calendar math on that. I'm going to go to the Toronto International Film Festival this year. I went once before in like 2015, had a great time, and fell in love with the city of Toronto. Mm. And I've just never been back. I was like there for a week and a half. And I think of it as one of my favorite cities, but I've only been there once.
Oh.
And I'm turning 40 this year, and I'm not like a birthday person, but like, you know, you turned 30 recently, and when people have milestone birthdays, you kind of get anxiety about like, I should do something, right? And like, you shouldn't. It's fine. Don't worry about it. But I actually did come up with something, which is that one of my favorite films of all time. It's a concert film, Stop Making Sense, from one of my favorite bands, or probably my favorite band of all time, Talking Heads. It was produced in 1983, when I was born, the year I was born. And it's the 40th anniversary celebrations are happening this year.
Oh.
It's getting a 4K remaster. It's being getting a limited theatrical screening.
Yeah.
And that is going to premiere at the film festival.
Ooh.
Now, fine, I have the Blu-ray. What do I need to fly to Toronto for this? But Talking Heads, which did their last live performance in 1984 and broke up in 1991 and reunited for one show at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in like 2000 something. This will be the first time they've been in the same room together in like 20 years to do a Q&A moderated by Spike Lee, who a famous filmmaker who also did David Byrne's American Utopia, which is a Broadway show in the sort of spirit of Stop Making Sense. That was the last time I took a trip that wasn't a work trip, was to go see that.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like that's my thing now. My vacations are all David Byrne related. And honestly, I don't mind.
Yeah.
But I'm thrilled about it. And so I thought I'd just talk about it on the show about how much fun I'm going to have. And I'll do a little bit of report on the way back. Dale and I are going to see a ton of movies. We're going to see like 30 movies.
Oh, boy.
Bunch of premieres. It's cool. And like the writers and actress strikes are going on right now.
Oh.
So there's going to be like no like red carpet, no like people there schmoozing or like press conferences with actors saying like blah 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 about promoting their movies,
which
is great. Like,
nice. Well timed.
There'll probably be less people there. Like, it's, you know, it's just going to be about the films.
Yeah.
The Directors Guild did their contract, so like they can show up. So that's cool.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Anyway, that's thrilling. But the one reason I want to talk about it is because I had to renew my passport to go to Canada, because Dale helpfully reminded me after we bought the tickets, like, is your passport valid? I'm like, ugh. In the United States, getting your passport renewed is not a complicated matter, but you have to do it like 8 months in advance.
Mm.
Like, it's After that, you need to pay an expedited fee, right? But you still need to do it 8 months in advance for that, because it takes a long time to, you know, to go through the wheels of bureaucracy.
Yeah.
But they have a special provision, which is basically to prevent this problem, because a lot of Americans go to Canada or to Mexico or they, you know, to Spain or whatever.
Sure.
Or, you know, and there's a mechanism by which the U.S. government recognizes that you're going to just need this tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is you have to wait until it's 2 weeks before your travel date. Mm-hmm. And actually, they were wrong. It's 13 days.
Oh.
Because I... Because my flight is at 6:30 in the morning on the 7th,
yeah,
and I called at 10:30 in the morning on 2 weeks before that, so it was 13 days and 20 hours,
oh.
And they were like, no, you need to call tomorrow because it's still not 2 weeks.
Wow.
I explained to them calendar math, and they were like, well, that's just what it says here in the system. I'm like, somebody update that document.
Right.
You have to wait until 2 weeks before to make an appointment at a passport agency, which is a government building. There's like 30 of them in the country.
Okay.
That means not enough for every state.
Right.
There's one 3 blocks from my house.
Oh.
So I got to bike over there, which was nice.
Cool.
And, you know, give them all my documents.
Yeah.
My expired passport expired in 2018. It was issued 15 years and 4 months ago, which means I had to do the complicated form instead of the simple form.
Okay.
As I talk about it, I'm like, this is not interesting, but it was such a fascinating experience to learn about this system and how, like, I knew about this, mm-hmm, like 4 weeks ago.
Yeah.
But I had to wait until 2 weeks before my travel date to do anything about it because I missed the 8 month. It's
right,
so
right.
strange.
Yeah. It is weird.
And I called them up and I said I wanted an appointment. And well, when I talked to the passport agency to get, because I'm like, does the appointment need to be 2 weeks or can I make the appointment now?
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't you have to wait until then to make the appointment? And I'm sure there's reasons for that. You know, so they don't, like, things aren't just perpetually booked out, perhaps. But when I call, they're like, oh yeah, it's fine. You'll get an appointment. No, don't worry about it. Because I'm like worrying because it's like so close,
mm-hmm,
and I'm sort of already pot committed to this trip.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, it's a mistake I made. So then I call in on the, you know, on 13 days or rather 12 days
right,
and 20 odd hours before. And they say, like, oh, sorry, there's no appointments. But there is one at the Chicago passport office.
Oh.
And I was confused, but then I remembered, of course, there isn't one in everybody's neighborhood. So they would, of course, tell you the closest ones.
Yeah.
And I'm like, so should I take a train to Chicago to get my passport?
Oh, my goodness.
Because I kind of have to,
yeah,
right? Or do I try to go to Chicago on my way to Toronto? But this is expedited, but maybe it will take a whole 24 hours. So
yeah.
It was just the whole thing in my mind thinking, like, this is all going to be ruined.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and then Dale just made the great suggestion of, like, just fly into Chicago in the morning and fly back. And
yeah.
It's like, and I'm just not a person who thinks about things in that way because that is a waste of money, but it is the most efficient way to do it.
Yeah.
And then I don't need to go to a hotel. I can have an afternoon in Chicago. That sounds fun.
Yeah.
And a little silly adventure, like kind of a dumb thing that's really my fault. But, so I was planning for that. And so I called back to make the Chicago appointment because I ended up making a Minneapolis appointment like the day of my flight, which meant I wouldn't get to Toronto until like that evening and I'd miss some movies.
Oh, no.
But so I called back after Dale suggested, like, just go to Chicago. It's fine.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I called back and I just said, like, but just could you just check to see if there's no Minneapolis appointments before?
Yeah.
And I know there isn't, but I'm just like, for some weird reason from the stars, I just asked them and they said, oh, yeah, there's 3 appointments tomorrow.
What the heck?
Whoa, lucked out.
My goodness.
And in my mind, I'm like, I was like, oh, I was going to go to Chicago. That was going to be fun. But anyway, so I biked down there. It was on Saturday.
Yeah.
And I got all my documents in order. I was like really fastidious about it. I'm like, all, you know, like it says city, you have to put city and state of your parents' birthplace. And
yeah.
I'm like, I know they were born probably in St. Paul, but what if it was Maplewood?
Like, yeah, what
happens? And I'm just panicking about every little thing, but that's not nearly necessary. You could just put Minnesota.
Okay. So
I'm trying to read all the lines of all these like federal documents.
Yeah.
And like,
yeah.
Like panicking because like it's really high, it's high stakes.
Right, you didn't want to get it wrong.
Right, yeah. If there was like a delay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now here I am sitting, having done the appointment, and everybody there saying like, "Yeah, fine, you just come pick it up on Wednesday."
Mm-hmm.
Because I did it on the weekend, I couldn't pick it up same day.
Right.
So it is Monday today. So in 2 days, I will find out
if
there's a problem.
Yeah.
I assume it's fine.
Yeah.
But it was a little bit of an adventure. And the whole time I was just thinking, like, it must be really hard to run this program.
Mm.
And so even though it was kind of, like, frustrating at places and, like, come on, 14 days is 14 days, people.
Yeah.
Not 13 days. But I had a sort of appreciation for the federal bureaucracy in that sense, like, yeah. And how they manage, like, everybody making this mistake of, like, not renewing their passport on time, making last-minute travel plans, and what happens if it's an emergency? Well, they have a whole separate system for that, mm-hmm. where you have to provide proof of that emergency, but the proof they ask for is not so onerous on the citizen,
yeah.
to provide an extra burden under someone who's in an emergency. Like,
right.
calculating all that is a big challenge.
Yeah.
And, you know, got my, you know, game designer brain working, too. So.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That was way more interesting than you sold it, Mark. I'm not gonna lie.
I'm telling you, I can spin gold out of straw when it comes to this kind of nonsense. But speaking of getting our game designer brain working,
yes. Oh yeah, Game Jam. I did that.
Yeah. So you talked about this on the show, right?
Yeah.
Can you remind listeners and maybe me?
Yes. So it was 2 weeks ago ish. Now I did a game jam with a group of friends. So this wasn't like a. Specific like Ludum Dare or Global Game Jam thing.
So it's also birthday related, right?
It is birthday related, yes. One of my friends planned this whole game jam for her husband. And she was on my team, actually, so that mm-hmm. was going to be cool. And so we basically just, we all parked it at my brother's place, and we just worked on a game for 48 hours
mm-hmm.
Over the weekend. A lot of the people who were part of this friend group had not worked on games before,
yeah.
so they were very nervous. And I didn't want.
And you're walking around back straight, being like, "It's fine, everybody. It's fine."
Honestly, yeah,
I've got this.
I was like that.
You were the pillar, the rock for everybody.
But like, I also understand it too, because like the first time I did a game jam, I feel like I wasn't that nervous, but I think it was because I had a team planned out,
I
was working with.
Yeah.
So I felt comfortable, and I had already been working on games, so I kind of knew how games worked. I hadn't been working on it for that long exactly at that time, but like I was familiar with it. So like I can kind of understand if you have no idea what games are like, and you've heard me complain about how difficult making games are for a couple of years, and then we're like, hey, make a game in 48 hours, how you would be nervous.
Mm-hmm.
But we did a good job. I think it went really well.
Yeah.
People had a really good time.
Mm-hmm.
I did do a little bit of programming actually.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't do really any game design. I did writing mostly.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That was your plan, right? Because
yeah,
we talked about that on the show recently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It was really fun. I enjoyed doing that a lot. Shaylee, who's the person who's organizing this,
mm-hmm.
She was on my team, and she said that my writing was really good, and she's a script writer.
Hey.
She writes for plays and stuff.
That's awesome.
That made me feel really good. I'm sure part of that was her just being mm-hmm. my friend, but also, I don't know. I think I did a good job. I feel like I did. It's a lot of words. My the character I was writing is very wordy, so I had to like sit there and type up a bunch of stuff, and it was like kind of it was kind of a lot when I was doing it, but it was fun. Yeah, we had a good time. We worked in our game was done. There were two groups. Our game was done in RenPy.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. So like the programming side of things were easy, and we had somebody on the team who had worked in RenPy already.
Okay.
Cool. And I had not, so like I kind of learned some stuff on the fly, and I did a little bit of stuff. There was somebody on our team, she doesn't really do code, but like she picked up some of the slack we needed with respect to a lot of things. She did a lot of the game design stuff too. And she kind of learned how RenPy worked within like the last 5 hours of the jam.
That's awesome.
Right? It's very impressive.
I love that when you find people who have like the capacity to understand things,
yeah.
but they don't appreciate that it's that they can.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you put them in a situation where they have to,
mm-hmm.
and then they do.
Yeah, yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, it was great. I think I'd like to say that ours went relatively smoothly. I think there were like a couple things we had to cut at the end of the thing, but it was mostly pretty good.
Yeah.
My brother was on the other team, and their game.
Oh, so it was a McGregor classic.
McGregor versus McGregor.
Right.
No, it wasn't a competition.
It kind of sounds like you were about to explain how it was.
It wasn't, honestly. I didn't interact with Charles.
And he's not even here to defend himself.
Yeah, that's true.
He never is.
No. We were mostly kind of separated from each other, which was kind of part of the problem. My brother's, not me, I mean our team anyways. Uh-huh. My brother's game, their game was very ambitious. And my brother, like, because he and I were the most experienced in game jams, and my brother was the programmer on their team.
Mm-hmm.
My brother kind of just was like, accepting a lot of ideas because he felt like he could take it on, and he didn't want to like shoot down other people's ideas because it was their first game jam.
Yeah, yeah.
So he really wanted to be inspiring and stuff, but he took way too much on.
Meanwhile, you have some little bit of a producer brain now these days, right?
That's true. I guess my brother doesn't with respect to that, at least
yeah.
with a group. And so like ours went fairly smoothly. And I think we all, one thing that was really good is our programmer, he was really good about being like, I'm going to be real honest with y'all. I'm going to cut stuff if I can't do it. And I was like, okay, you're the programmer.
Yeah.
so that was kind of great. So we all had that mindset going.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
But yeah, on my brother's team, that wasn't quite like that. They ended up finishing their game, but they had to cut a lot of stuff, mm-hmm. Which was kind of unfortunate. They actually called me in to help implement some stuff mm-hmm. because my brother was just
and did you like go through the door frame and you're like well
oh, no <gosh. laughs> my brother was really stressed out y'all
oh no okay no, I feel bad so, in front of him
no it's fine
a little
he'll recover
yeah
I mean Paul also he was like hosting everybody there too right
so yeah
was,
yeah
oh, plus, this was at,
there's
this
that extra
this was at his house yeah so like he was trying to get this game started and stuff and so like I
and they had to like keep track of like all the dip and stuff right as well. So,
at the
yeah.
same time and there's a whole thing mm-hmm. And so like they called me in at the 11th hour or whatever it's called and then I like help implemented the narrative side of some things so, so like some people's writing could get implemented into the game
oh cool
so I did that which I so I ended up not doing a lot of stuff for my game for the last like few hours. But like at mm-hmm. that point, I had done a lot of I had finished the writing stuff.
Yeah.
So like that was a good time for me to.
Well, that's like a good allocation of resources,
yeah,
right?
Mm-hmm. So, exactly. Cool. So it all worked out. And we all have games set up and stuff. We've actually, we're trying to schedule a time so we can all get together and like celebrate the games we made.
Yeah.
Nice.
I think that's supposed to be this weekend.
Mm-hmm. Cool.
So.
And maybe listeners could play these games.
Can we play them?
Yes. I mean, I got to ask them about it because I don't know if people are.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get their buy-in for sure. Yeah.
But yeah, I would love for y'all to play them. I definitely want y'all to read my stuff. Mm-hmm. And I also would like it to be at the game playtest event.
Oh, yeah. Too.
Yeah. Yeah. I would like us to bring one or two of those games there as well.
That would be really cool.
Yeah. That's great.
Yeah, that'd be really
cool. So I'll pitch it to them and we'll see if we can get them on board.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and get them here to like play other games and
yeah.
to see a little you know, maybe it'll inspire them. Maybe it'll be like that was a fun thing to do. I never want to do it again. But yeah. I'm glad, you know what I mean? Like yeah, everyone has a different approach.
Yeah, that's totally fine right? too. Yeah, yeah. But it was a good time. I enjoyed it a lot. It had been a long time since I've been a game jam.
Yeah.
So it was cool to get back into it mm-hmm. with respect to that. Speaking of getting in back into it.
Yeah, how long has it been since we've done a nice game jam?
It's been a while.
It's been a few
officially
months.
A while?
Officially a while, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, you know, we've been working on sort of pitching Dogpile, and so I think maybe we were not in the mood to... But that's kind of... I mean, the work on that is kind of like done for now.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of in the hands of the folks we handed it off to
yes.
at the gaming conventions that Dale and I went to this summer. And... So, yeah, it's time. It's, mm-hmm. it's time to get another prompt and to make something live on air.
Yeah.
So this one, Dale gave us a prompt that she's been holding on to for a while.
A long while, actually.
She every single time we have a gap in our programming, she brings it up. She's like, hey, you could do this jam prompt that I've been sitting on for months.
Yeah.
And today we're going to do it.
Yes.
Should we look at this quick first before we do it? Or?
No, I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it live and we can correct it if we need to.
All right, here we go.
Okay, here we go. All right, so to be read by Ellen, my mother was saying that she didn't like playing dolls or cars with us kids when we were little, but she did like to play games with us. Create a game my mother can and wants to play with her cats with the supply list below. Bonus points if this can be played with a single cat or multiple cats at the same time for optimum usefulness in listener households with single cats. Okay, so this is not from my backstory.
No,
okay,
no. This is Dale's actual mom and her two actual cats.
Dale's actual mom and her actual cats. What threw me for a loop a little bit is that my mom didn't let us play, like she didn't encourage us to play with Barbies.
Yeah.
Mm. To the point where like relatives were not allowed to gift us Barbies.
Yeah,
I see.
And...
Yeah, Dale's mom was kind of similar.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I mean, I think dolls were fine, but no Barbies. And I could play with Barbies at my friend's house. We just didn't have a lot of them mm-hmm. because it was forbidden for them to be given as gifts. So instead, right. we ended up with like lots of horses, lots of horse toys.
That explains some things.
Lots of animal toys. We did have some pretty cool action figures and like cars and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I ended up just sometimes you just don't play with the toys and you just try to dig worms out of the ground.
Cool.
So, thinking about that.
Yeah. That's a good idea someday. Okay. yeah. So that threw me for a little bit. I thought she was talking about me and my mom that I might have said that at some point to Dale. But no. Okay. So Dale's mom did not like playing dolls or cars with the kids when they were little.
Yeah.
but she did like to play games. Okay, so create a game that Dale's mom wants to play with her cats.
Okay, so I'm going to start this right off the bat and go, what do cats play? I have no idea.
Well, dogs play fetch. Listeners may recall that this prompt is not that dissimilar from a nice thinking we did a while back, which is dogs games play with your dogs.
Yeah.
And all the same questions are coming up in my mind.
Yeah.
Like, who's the game for? Are the cats expected to play, or are they just components in the game and it's a game for you?
Yeah.
You know, what is consciousness? All that stuff.
Yeah.
what is consciousness? Our supply list is as follows. We have two male cats, 2 years old, and there's photos provided.
Very cute.
And we have one female cat, 20 years old, parentheses, not expected to participate. I know that cat. Correct.
The cat is 20 years old. So, yeah.
Yeah. She was, you know, getting less active over the years, but then these two young cats moved in, and then the old cat was like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm just a layabout now. Just immediate drop-off in activity, like leaving it all to the boys.
All right.
And then a wand toy, but I've been to Dale's mom's house. There is plenty of cat toys. There's laser pointers. Nope. There's speakers.
These are our constraints.
Yeah.
These are the constraints.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed page 2 and page 3 of toys.
Yeah, sorry.
Such a long prompt.
There are specific toys mentioned here.
Okay.
Yes.
Two cats that are male. One cat that is female that is not expected to participate, but could be a prop.
Could be a prop.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a prop. Wand toy. Cat tree. And thank you, Dale. She linked the product.
Yeah.
The specific cat tree.
I mean, it might be relevant.
Actually, yeah.
Okay, balls of various types. Balls with bells, fluffy, sparkly balls, and foam balls.
Yeah.
Okay.
What else do we got? There's a whole bunch.
Catnip toys, catnip yarn, finger trap toys, kibbles, cat. I don't know. All those things.
Oh, helpful reminders here at the bottom of the page. Cats do not fetch like dogs do. They don't fetch at all, thank you.
Yeah,
I have met cats that fetch.
I don't think that's true.
No, I have. I have met cats
I'm
that
kidding.
Fetch. Okay.
Cats are strongly motivated by food.
Like all animals.
If Steven is acting annoyed, remind him the last two games did not even have a bonus point for featuring cats.
How's that supposed to make me feel better?
I guess it's just like we're due.
Yeah, like quit warning.
Right. Fine.
We're overdue on cats.
Okay. Don't forget to give it a name. True, we have forgotten.
We have forgotten to do that. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for the reminder, Dave.
Yes. Okay. Right. So I go back to my previous question.
Yeah.
What do cats play? Because I have no idea. They don't play fetch, as is reminded. But I know they like to bat things around. Dale's talked about that a lot.
Yeah. Cats tend to be, they get real quick into the role play of the hunt.
Yes.
I think a lot of play turns into that, even when you're not intending it to be.
Okay.
That's sort of my read on cats. Is that like they like to pounce, they like to grab things that are running away from them.
Yeah.
That seems to be a pretty common way to sort of get them engaged.
Okay.
Is to get them to engage in hunting type activities.
Right.
Which is different from dogs, which they're a little bit more, they got a little more going on. You can get a dog to play around.
Mm-hmm.
With a lot of different kinds of motivations. Cats seem a little simpler to me, but are also a little harder because you can't read them as easily.
Well, then it seems like we should lean into that idea of getting the cats to hunt, quote unquote.
Yeah. That's why the laser pointer works so well.
Right.
You know.
Not one of the items listed.
That's interesting.
It isn't? Oh, it isn't. Because that'd be easy to go towards? I don't know. Okay. All right. So that's good to know. Cats like hunting, and that's what they would probably want. That's what they would do here.
And they're food motivated.
And they're food motivated.
I feel like...
Cat pinata.
There has to be a game. It has to be a game.
You can't make the cats take turns. That would be the game.
You could. You just close the other cat in a room and then listen to it yell at you.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So it doesn't seem appealing. For Dale's mom.
Yeah.
No.
The thing I'm thinking of is like actually like a competitive game where there's two players, one of Dale's mom's cats is their champion,
mm-hmm.
and then you have to get them to do a certain thing in a certain order in a certain time. But the problem with this is that this is supposed to be a single player game.
Yeah.
So that won't really work.
Well, it's okay, so here's an idea.
Okay.
Dale's mom is the dungeon master and the players are the cats.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, this is not a game Dale's mom would like to play, I don't think.
What do you mean?
In this area.
She's not into D&D?
Yeah, actually, Dale saying that she's into games actually surprises me a little bit.
Oh boy. Okay.
I don't think we can get her on a D&D path.
Well, okay. the only reason I brought that up is because then she could be kind of like the director, and the cats are the ones actually like dictating the play a little bit more.
Yeah. Okay. Well, this is the same problem we had with the games with your dogs. It's like, are the dogs the players, or is the human the player?
Yeah.
Right? Maybe now, we should...
One thing I do want to clarify is does it say specifically that Dale's mom has to enjoy the game?
She would has to want to play this game.
Oh, heck. All right. Yeah. Okay.
And it's a game that my mother can and wants to play with her cats.
Oh, that's rough. All right. Never mind then.
What were you thinking?
We had an out. I thought we could just make something that Dale's mom particularly wouldn't maybe necessarily want to play, but we other people might want to.
Yeah, I think, don't. I mean, this would be nice because these are actual cats that could actually benefit. This could be a proper value add to the universe if we make this thing.
Yeah.
But maybe we should just not worry about that and just just make a game that these two cats could play.
Yeah, yeah.
Otherwise, I'll just be in my head about it the whole time.
That's fair. You probably know her better than us.
Yeah.
So that makes sense. Okay. All right. So cats, hunting. Ellen, you were talking about some D&D thing.
Well, okay. So like with D&D, you know, the Dungeon Master points at you and you're like, I want to do this thing. And then they're like, roll dexterity.
Yeah.
Or not roll stealth or something.
Sure.
And then you have to get like a certain role in order to succeed. Mm-hmm. But basically the thing that I'm coming down to is like, what if we can do something with the rolling? Like, what if to play this game, you have two players and then one like referee.
Yeah.
And what you also have are like two dice.
Yeah.
And the cats roll the dice because maybe they're like a little treat ball. I don't know if you know what these are, but like it's a ball that has holes in it. So you can put a treat in it, but then you bat it around and the treat comes out.
Yeah. Okay.
And you can make that into like a D10 or a D12 or something like that and have the holes on the corners or something, you know?
I think you have to worry about the cats like not can like they'll roll the die and then before you can read the number, they're going to roll it again.
Just keep hitting it, yeah.
Well, yeah. And then when they get the treat out is when it stops rolling. Because then they'll stop hitting it.
Oh, okay. So it's not like a thing you stuff peanut butter into. It's like the thing will come out and there'll be nothing left.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. So there's some product design in there, right? You'd have to design the right kind of cat-oriented D20 or whatever.
That's within specifications.
Yeah, yeah. And also, so it's just like...
The gameplay has to be flexible enough so that like it doesn't matter if that takes 15 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's that is something that occurred to me is like there's cat time. Things happen for cats on their own schedule.
Yeah.
And I kind of like the idea of this being like an open, we don't know how long it's going to play.
That makes this a design pillar of the game. It's not a game you sit down and play. It's a thing that's just going on all day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Right. So that works for me in that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's cool.
That means all the activities can be designed around that sort of thing where you can leave a thing for the cat to do and then come back to see how it resolves.
Yeah.
Like that could be
that could be it, yeah.
Right?
Yep.
Because that actually is something that Dale's mom actually would maybe do because it wouldn't require her sort of the artificiality of sitting down to play the game.
Right.
And then it makes things like that work really well. Of course, it's not on our props list, but
we can
bend the rules.
Time isn't on our props list.
No, this treat die thing.
It is. It's totally a ball of various type.
it's not a ball with a bell. It's not a fluffy sparkly ball or a foam ball, but we are designing a game, right?
Yeah.
And so if we have to add some components to make it a game.
This is going to be a product in a box that's going to have all the parts.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah. And then it's a game for two cats.
Yeah. Right.
Plus one non-participant.
So theoretically then it's competitive. That's kind of what I'm hearing. But I don't know if that's what we're doing.
Well, the cats aren't going to know this, but then at the end, once it's all resolved, one of the cats will have won, and that will be just fun for you to learn.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I'm really enjoying the perspective you're having on it, Mark, where like the game is kind of you, the cat owners, I guess, are playing a game, but the cats are just doing cat stuff, right?
Yeah.
I think that's kind of interesting because then like you can. Like you can participate at your own pace, well, at the cat's pace, but in a way that like
at makes a random it, pace is what you say.
Yeah, yeah.
But it makes it more enjoyable for you. I guess it makes your day more interesting to engage with your cats, or different, I guess, in a way that is at least worth pursuing. So I like that aspect of it.
Yeah, and I like, Ellen, you're framing it as sort of a D&D campaign.
Yeah.
Because it can have like a beginning, middle, and end.
Yeah.
Sort of structure.
Yeah.
And some parts could be more engaging than other parts. Some could just be like, set a thing and whatever. Another can be like, okay, now it's time for the relay, you know, portion or whatever. Yeah. But it can just be spread out throughout a day or something. Or, yeah. Or even a week.
Yeah.
And you can just, on the whiteboard on your fridge, you can keep track of how it's going.
Yes. So let's say D6. I don't know, because that's small.
Well, I think...
Or D4.
Yeah, so the question is are we deciding that it's going to be whatever we say it is, or should we look at the universe of cat toys and see what can be adapted for this?
Oh, I was going to say it could be whatever we say it is. I mean, the thing is we don't really know what they're rolling for yet, so we don't really know how many sides the die should have.
Well, right, so the constraint should be what's available to use.
Well, yeah. I don't know. I think the constraint should be we should first decide what role does rolling have in the game. We know that the cats are going to do it, but then, like, what does that signify?
Oh, I guess I had assumed it would signify the cat's doing a different activity as a result of the die.
The rolling for initiative.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, actually, that's kind of cool.
Cats are
going
to ignore.
Right. Who gets the chance to go? I mean, right. So then is it like some sort of obstacle course sort of thing where like each of them, like they roll per obstacle or per challenge and then.
Potentially, I think. I don't know. I think that like. Cat owners like having their cats do weird things even though they're not recognizing that they're doing weird things. I'm just reminded of like the one where like the cats, they put like cups for the cats to walk perfectly
between, or whatever.
Oh,
like
yeah,
that could be a thing. That could be one of the obstacles that you have to
go through. That's there's a whole like genre on YouTube of like cat challenges where the cats have no idea what they're doing, but they will still try not to knock it over or whatever.
Right, and that could be I suppose that could be a measurement. This could be like a whole cat tournament. That's the name now. Cat tournament. and like it could
just
be
one T in that. Just cat tournament.
Cat tournament. Yes. Yeah. And it could be a whole I don't know. It could be a whole obstacle course thing where like. Mm-hmm. Their role determines what obstacles they go through next. And as long as the setup is really simple.
Yeah, that's the thing about this. If we want this, if the design pillar is this sort of like passive activities that's spread out, then like let's say you're having someone over for dinner on Tuesday, you don't want to have to tear down all the cat stuff and then put it back up on Wednesday.
Right. That's true.
So it has to be. And then the other thing is if it's for two cats, like... Let's say you roll this treat die, and basically you just leave it in the living room until you notice the treat's not in there anymore, and then see what faces up.
Yep.
Simple.
Yep.
Which cat rolled it? Is it just you just do one cat then the other cat? There's a bunch of more logistics in here, I think.
I suppose.
Now it could be that the die is just rolls just for some other initial value, or it's the mechanism by which you do a lot of things in the game, and so it doesn't matter who quote unquote rolls the die.
Yeah. I think that's probably the way we. For logistical purposes, I think that's the way we'd have to go about it. It doesn't matter who rolls the die. As long as the die gets rolled and stops at some point, then you look at the result and it's a 4. And then you're like, okay, now something happens. What happens?
Mm-hmm.
Cat pinata.
We keep coming back to that. It is pretty cool.
Just me. I'm going back.
Yeah, keep it in your pocket. We'll pull it out later.
I don't know. That'd be a fun thing to ask. Like, that could be the boss. At the end, if this was an actual campaign.
Attack!
The reward for the cats for putting up with whatever it is we put them through is like, it's full of tuna.
Yeah. I
was thinking more of like a reward for the person for being so patient with the cats. Because that is something that just occurred to me. Like, okay, it's funny, like, the idea of going through a game that's on cat's time, which is variable, is funny, but also could get really boring. So like, that's, if we have cats doing... Well, different task. Mm-hmm. It's still not clear to me like what the criteria are for doing a task. And is it like a one versus one? Whoever finishes it faster, whoever does it better.
Do they compete at the same time or is it one after the other?
It has to be one after the other. Try to coordinate cats. Yeah. There's a whole
saying
about that.
There's a first to the goal kind of thing that works. Especially, I mean, these cats are they squabble. So it's
I was gonna say I don't think we want the gameplay to like trigger cat fights.
What I was gonna. Ask is does it necessary that the die roll determines what the cat does? Is it something that the human could do instead?
Ooh.
Oh. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Kind of okay. I think the die roll should determine what the cat does.
Okay.
But it determines what the human sets up. So
yes.
We have a table of activities.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And the die roll determines which activities.
Right. Yeah.
So the idea behind this is that let's say you have let's say it's a D6.
Sure.
I mean, it should be a D8 because I think that will roll better. I think a D6 will slide along the ground.
Oh, yeah.
So let's say it's a D8.
Sure.
Or whatever. So it's 8 activities.
Yep.
And the order in which they're done will maybe change the experience somehow. But they're just different. Like, one of them is just, okay, you put a treat in the cat tree, you set up both cats on the stairwell, and then you see who gets it faster.
Yeah.
Now, you have to watch the cats here, and maybe they're not going to run to it, but that's cat time.
Yeah.
Right? That makes it kind of interesting each time you do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That could be one activity. So you just, then you roll again, or you have the cats roll again, you do another activity.
Yeah.
And then after X amount of activities, some final thing happens, and then that's a campaign, and then you can do it again next week, and it'll be really different.
Yeah.
And that's a way for, that feels like something just that you can do with your cats.
Yes.
I like that idea. I like, you know, it would be actually kind of funny is if you themed each of the challenges in like a different way that cat, like things that cats are good at.
Yeah.
Like one of them would be like smelling, and one of them would be like, you know, purring or like rubbing up on something. You know, I'm not sure exactly what that would take, what that would be.
What I like about that is that if you have two cats and they're, I mean, and they have different personalities or different behaviors slightly, I mean, your best bet is going to be two cats that are similar, right? Like, like these two cats we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But that is, we can design for that. But any differences between them will actually bear out, because if you, the activities you roll will favor one cat or the other, and that's kind of thrilling.
Yeah.
Right? As you play.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, activities 2, 4, and 6 are really good for Milo.
Yeah.
Let's see if Miles can make it happen. You know what I mean? Can beat these odds.
Mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
That'd be kind of fun.
Yeah. I like that.
And so I like that each one of them is sort of specifically geared towards some cat thing.
Some different kind of cat thing.
Okay. Well, okay. So part of this thing is like, theoretically, these activities are things that the human is not supposed to be actively watching because the cats are on cat time.
I think some of them will be.
Oh, okay.
I think. And I think that variety is, I think, will be interesting.
Sure.
Because in some of the activities, it could be you set up a thing and then come back to see the result.
Yeah.
Or you just sort of sit on the couch and read a newspaper and sort of mildly observe.
Yeah.
But you don't have to pay constant attention. And some of them are like, this is happening now. I have to time or see who gets there first or whatever.
Yeah.
I think that variety. And then if you roll a dice and you don't have time for the thing, just wait till you do have time for that.
Yeah.
You get to engage in cat time as well.
Okay. Yeah.
So I think we can do both. Right?
Okay. Cool.
And that variety I think will be sort of interesting.
Yeah.
To the human.
As long as the human isn't like forced to sit there for 30 minutes and the cat's not doing anything. Right?
Yeah. I don't think we want that.
Right. Yeah.
But I imagine some of these activities we designed would.
And I'm okay pushing the line a little bit towards that, just because, like, whatever, you can always quit. Like,
yeah, I suppose.
It's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a cat thing, too. You just stop doing what you're doing for no reason at all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Some parts of my brain are just going really silly with this. Basically, just like, what if it's not competitive between the two cats and it's actually cooperative? And it doesn't matter which cat does what thing. You just put a series of challenges in front of the cats.
Oh.
And as long as they make progress together, then they work towards the goal. Then I'm like, well, what's the goal? And like, again, how do you make it interesting for people without them just like watching their cat go slow blinking at them? You know, like,
yeah.
I think what's interesting for the human is actually just watching a cat do anything for people who are into cats is kind of enough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But then why don't you just use a laser pointer or do whatever and you don't need to have game rules.
Right.
The added element on here, I think, is the scorekeeping.
Yeah.
Which to the human, they know it's silly, but they know that of all games, I think. So I think just to kind of like keep track in kind of a silly way of which cat's doing better, knowing full well they have no idea.
Yeah.
But that they still can be competitive. And that's why I do kind of want, like you were saying, Ellen, you don't want them to encourage them getting into scrapes. That is actually okay to do with cats. Like to like encourage them to like roughhouse. Like that is a healthy cat behavior.
Roughhousing is one thing. Okay, and I am coming at this from a dog perspective.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dogs roughhouse when they play, but that's different than what happens when they're resource guarding. Because when someone has a thing or there's a thing over there and someone wants it and the other one wants it, that's when you can get fights that can cause injuries.
Okay.
And I don't know if the same thing happens with cats, but like there's a difference between the roughhousing that happens when they're playing, and that's very consensual, and there's lots of like very specific body language that happens to communicate that, yes, we are making lots of noises and I'm putting my very big teeth on your face, but it's all fun, right?
Yeah.
Like they take breaks, they sneeze a lot, they make slightly silly noises, but when they're like arguing over a resource, it's way, way different. Sure. And I wonder if cats don't have some of the similar things. So I think we're going to be careful about how we set up those challenges.
Oh, so like theoretically, if you like put a kibble on like a counter or something and you had the cats try to get it, they might compete over that and that would cause problems?
Well, just coming at it from a dog perspective, like if I had, you know, my two dogs and I had one treat and I mm-hmm. set it on the other side of the room and I'm like, okay, go get it.
Yeah.
They would both run towards it, yes. and then one would get there first, and the other one would be disappointed.
Okay.
And they would get over that disappointment, and they would look at me like, what the heck?
Yeah, where's the second one?
We're like, excuse, this isn't fun. And then they do it the second time, and it would probably happen the same way. And then, you know, the third time, it would be like, no longer fun. This person keeps stealing the treats, or this other dog keeps stealing the treats, and so I'm either going to obviously, the human's not going to do anything about it, so I'm going to stand up for myself.
Oh, okay.
And that's when you can get a fight.
Well, that's a key to the sort of food motivation, is that you provide a lot of reward. So so there's basically, you never are in a situation where you're reward restricted.
Yeah.
Right? So you can lose 3 challenges in a row, and you still get plenty of kibble that day.
Well, right? Yes, but, you know, like, the animals can't keep track of what they got in a day. What they remember and is like, that cat got something and I didn't. In that moment.
Yeah, I think that this is a situation where if that's the way that your dog or cat is, then you probably just don't want to be putting them in any situation that's even close to this anyway.
Mm.
I think once they're fine with that, then it's not like the sky's the limit or anything.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't see the risk. Like, unless your cat has a bad attitude already.
Cat-tude.
And in which case, like, then you've got bigger problems.
Yeah.
Cat-tude. Right?
Catitude.
Catitude. Yes.
Yeah.
Can't let that slide by.
So, folks, this song you're hearing in the middle of the show, you've heard it a bunch, and we usually use this time to ask you for a favor.
Yes.
We say, hey, give us a 5-star review. Please share the show with your friends. Join us on Discord. Hey, maybe throw us some money on Patreon. I'm just going to read out all of them.
Yeah, that's a lot of them.
Buy Glom, blah, blah, yep. blah.
T-shirt,
all of them. nicegames.club/etc.
Uh-huh.
And, but I think for this one, whose idea was this?
This was Ellen's idea.
Ellen's idea, which is to say, hey, Mark, you were talking about going to Toronto. This is my best Ellen impression.
pretty good.
Why don't you tell the folks about Bloor, which is the name of the song that is playing right now, but it's also the name of a subway station in Toronto where I wrote this song.
Yeah.
When I went there for the film festival in 2015, I took my little keyboard with me, and I was writing music for Metro Nexus, which I had just started making at that time, as sort of more of a hobby at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just sort of worked out I hadn't written music in the longest time.
Yeah.
I did it when I was a teenager, and then kind of set it aside because I sort of couldn't find the time or space to do it. But then I discovered MIDI, which late for me, I guess.
Yeah.
If you know anything about me, but I'm like, oh, I just need a little keyboard and a computer and I can make whatever music I want. And I got back into it in kind of a big way and wrote a bunch of songs in Toronto because we spent like a week and a half there and it wasn't like a Disneyland thing. You see a movie or two a night. There was lots of time.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wrote a lot of music and I named it after subway stations in Toronto. The song you're hearing is called Bloor. And so it means kind of a lot to me in that sense, sort of personal. And then when we were doing the show, I wrote a song for the theme song. But then it came time to do this middle section that we were sort of inventing.
Yeah.
Like, let's do something in the middle, during the ad break that feels a little bit more personal. It's more individual to the episode, but also engage with the listenership. And so, well, let's put some music on it. And it's like, it was just, I didn't have time to write a new piece of music. I just went to the archives and like, this one sounds good. It won't be too distracting. But now it has come to be my favorite song from there, probably why I picked it. And so we refer to this section as the Bloor, and you might have heard that on the show from time to time.
Yeah.
But it's kind of a deep cut because most people will be like, what are you talking about? So this here is now official explanation for what that's all about.
Yeah.
Here 8 years later when I'm going back to Toronto. Should I bring my keyboard? Should I write a Bloor 2?
Absolutely.
No pressure. If you feel the
no
inspiration.
No pressure.
Breaks.
All the pressure. Do it. I didn't realize that you had written this song in Toronto. That is so cool.
Yeah.
What the heck?
I can see the CN Tower out the window and everything.
I want a Bloor remix. I want a song to play when I come into the room.
He's just throwing in long-time demands.
Yes.
I was going to say, it's like an angel and devil on the shoulder situation, and there's no question which
one's which. I just think it'd be fun.
It would be cool. You do need a theme song when you enter the room.
Right?
Yeah.
And I can't check John Cena, so.
Yeah.
I was just thinking you could, actually.
My favorite piece of information about this fact is that when a friend of ours who is from Toronto.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
was, I think, either listening to the show or something where we mentioned it and was like, what are you talking about? That's a terrible station. Why did you name anything after it?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I'm not a native. I just took in what was around me.
It's so funny.
Yeah.
Will you revisit the Bloor station on your next trip, your upcoming trip?
I'll take Laura with me to the Bloor station.
Excellent.
And have her explain to me what's so wrong about it.
Does she feel like you nailed it with your musical interpretation?
You know, we didn't get that far in the conversation, as I recall.
Oh,
so, yeah, nothing to ask of you this time. Just a little information. Enjoy the rest of the program.
Okay. So yeah. Okay. So we have a big old list of activities that cats do.
So two things we need to do are come up with these activities.
Yes.
And then also some sort of like resulting some sort of end game that makes it feel satisfying to stop instead of just keep going forever. Right.
Yeah.
I mean, or it could just be like after so many days of activities.
I mean, I feel like just
points
best of three. Right. Like that's the easy way.
Yeah. I think we could do better than that though.
Okay. That's fair.
I mean, because it could just be like a book of activity that, you know, you have the cat roll the die three times and then get a three-digit number.
Yeah.
And then you just have tons of activities and then you just do those activities whenever you want.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't have to be sort of campaign-based, but I like Ellen's framing earlier about, like, it being a campaign that begins and ends.
Okay.
Cat Sudoku, but you can only fill in numbers that the cats roll on the die.
That's funny.
And if you get any of the puzzles in the book, then you win.
Yeah.
Go team.
You know, okay, that's the other angle on this.
Yeah.
Is that, okay, let's say it's a D10 and you roll it twice.
All right.
So it's like 100.
Sure.
Yeah. Just follow me on this.
Yeah, okay.
Might not be good. Half the things are cat tasks that give them points, and the other half are human tasks.
you gotta beat the cats.
Well, no, that you just have to do.
Oh.
So it's the cat that's making you do something.
Oh,
and so you get to play along.
That's fun,
right?
Okay. I kind of like that.
I kind of like that too.
Idea.
And you can't do another cat activity until you do your activity.
Yeah.
So, you know,
what is the human activity though? Like, I mean, five push-ups.
Stuff like that. Like,
okay.
Like, I mean, not that, I don't think.
Yeah,
but, like, you know, find a word that starts with something in a newspaper. You know, like little activities, little tasks that are sort of meaningless and not challenging, but can be sort of idle fun.
Sure.
Right?
Cat gamify your chores.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I suppose. It
could also be like... interacting with the other thing. So it could be if one of the things to do is like pick one of the cats.
Yeah.
And that to do something, or like in your role as the judge, pick which cat you thought has played the fairest and give them two extra points. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like stuff like that the human does that comes up kind of randomly. That could be either related to the game or could just be random.
Okay.
You know.
Right. Okay.
Or like invite another cat over to play for player two. You know, that might be a little bit too difficult to manage. But things like that, that just change the game. Because I think the key to this being something that would be fun to do over and over is to have the combination of activities make completely different experiences.
Yeah.
Right?
I like that train of thought. What I was thinking of is that, like, each round is just a different set of activities. So each die roll is something different. It leads to a different of the 8 or 10 or whatever. Activities that are potentially given to you by the cat or chosen by the cat's die roll. Does that make sense? I'm not making sense.
Yeah, I think we're talking about the same thing.
No, I'm talking about something a little bit different in that, like, you're effective, you're picking from a giant list of activities. Some of them can be human tasks, some of them can be cat tasks.
Yeah.
I'm suggesting, I guess I'm proposing, all the tasks are still cat tasks, but you just each round you do different, you pick from a different list of cat tasks. And when you do all three, and when you complete all three, then that's the end of the game.
Oh, I see. So, like, there's three tables, round one, round two, round three.
Yes.
Why?
Well, I guess I was trying to come up with an ending for the game. And I figured that, like, that you can have, you can vary up the tasks so that like you still get different experiences. And
so each, if there's you some do game it, design here where yeah. task two could be designed knowing task one was completed.
Yes. Or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I just don't know that this game, this needs that.
Sure.
That feels a little bit like I want the game to be a little simpler for the human to engage in.
Okay.
If that makes sense. Yeah. I don't know. Alan, what do you think? Because I don't hate it.
I guess my main criticism with respect to the 100 tasks thing is that it still doesn't have an end. So
yeah, for sure. Well, I mean,
but we can figure that out.
Well, I mean, it doesn't have an end except for you could just say do 5 of them. So that's not really different.
Yeah.
I think that the benefit of what you're proposing is that you can design things knowing, you know, with, after the result of the first task.
Yeah.
So it can be a little bit, you can focus more on the game design of it.
Yeah.
And the reason I'm not as excited about that is because I don't think the activities we make are going to be really conducive to that sort of
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
But ultimately, we still have that problem, which is just, how does the game end? What is it like?
Yeah.
I mean, it could be like a double or nothing or, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know.
It doesn't, like, I'm starting to lean away from, like, checklist of tasks things. I just don't think it's, I don't think it's fun enough. I don't know though. This is so hard.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I think, I mean, if it's an idle experience played over many days, it can't be too engaging.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right? It has to be,
it's gotta be like,
episodically,
you
know, involved. And,
I think it would just be nice for it to be like a nice surprise. They're like, oh, the cat did the thing. That's cool.
Yeah, time to move on to the next.
Like, I think that is sad. I would like to imagine that that is satisfying enough to change up interaction with your cat experiences. So I imagine that, the really simple tasks are kind of good enough for our purposes, but they're not going to be like super fun, like games in that way.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, Ellen, this will be your opportunity to move us in a different direction.
Okay, yes.
Or our opportunity to lock this in.
Okay.
This is what we should talk about now.
Yeah.
So, I think 100, obviously, that's just a crazy number. But, like, if we're going to make a dice that does this, a D20 is not out of the question, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so that seems like a good number.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll only ever probably do 8 or fewer of these things in one playthrough.
Sure.
Right? So that should mean that you're not going to... play a couple times, you'll experience new things in different orders. Half of those can be human, or 2/3 can be cats, and 1/3 can be human tasks.
Yeah.
That can all work. So if we do that idea, that seems to be roughly the shape of it. So Ellen, you're saying that you're not as excited about the sort of random task table.
Well, or it needs something more. So what?
Because it could be more designed. Like these are the task 1, task 2, task 3, task 4 are all the same each time and very specific. More D&D campaign style.
Yeah, well, I guess, so here's something that, like, made me think about bingo.
Okay.
Honestly, or, like, tic-tac-toe. So, like, what if you had a bunch of different, like, I don't know how you do it, but you, like, almost do, like, a mini bingo board that's, like, 3x3, right?
Oh, bingo board, yeah.
Yeah, and so then the two cats are playing against each other by, like, rolling, and... then whichever cat gets 3 in a row is the winner. But also then whenever you do one, there's like in between each round, you are also doing a task. I think that would be... So just like adding something more to just task after task after task. I don't know. I'm not sure.
So
it doesn't feel like there's enough for the human here, but maybe that's because I'm not imagining watching the cats do stuff enough.
A tic-tac-toe version of this is that each space on the board is a task, and then you... Let's say there are 2 human players, one playing for each cat.
Yeah.
Then you choose one of the things, and then you have your cat do it.
Yeah.
And if they successfully do it or they complete the task, then you fill in the thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's involved. So it's playing tic-tac-toe, but like with some random, like crazy randomness involved.
Yeah.
But that does require 2 human players to be interesting. Otherwise, you're just playing against yourself.
Yeah. Also, you still need some mechanism by which you can determine that one of the cats did the thing and the other cat did not do the thing. And if you're not actively watching it, that's going to be hard to do.
Well, I'm leaving that out of it for
now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the tasks themselves or the activities themselves, that's not, I mean, I think I'm trying to address Ellen's concern about the sort of that the determination of what you do. And
I do like the idea of it, of a tic-tac-toe sort of thing. Because that, I mean, it gives us an ending and it's like a neat little thing if the cat like does a really cool tic-tac-toe move.
Right.
There's not really cool
the cat can't choose, so a human has to choose.
And
if you're going to play something like that, then you need 2 players.
Unless the cat rolls the die with the treat in it, and that's what dictates where the next tick or tack or toe goes, or whatever it is.
The X or the O?
Yeah, the X or the O.
Yeah. So that's the mechanism by which the game ends, is that instead of, so it's the same as we were describing, mm-hmm. but instead of it being a table, it's a grid, and that grid is it's connect four or tic-tac-toe or something.
Yeah, something like, okay.
So there's no strategy for the cat at all,
no,
for the human, but that just determines when it's over.
Well, and it's some randomness, right? So you don't know what's going to happen, and I think that helps a little bit. I think what could be, so just tossing this out there, you've got like a 4x3 grid or something. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
4x4 maybe.
Sure.
So you got a nice even number, and maybe it's like alphabet on one side, letters on one side, numbers on the other, and then you have like some sort of combination of die or something that like lets the cats roll to indicate which thing they're on. Maybe it's a die. Maybe it's just like some kind of weird like random generator that they can press or something. I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
But basically like whoever each cat presses the thing, and that's where their mark goes on the board.
Mm-hmm.
But then between each mark, you do a challenge to determine which cat gets to go first next time. I don't know. I'm really struggling with this one. Can you tell? Well,
the trick is, I mean, we have the same problem with the dog games, which is that, like, there's a difference between game mechanics and gameplay, right?
Yeah.
And so in this case, you'd have mechanics, but nobody is playing that game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, sure. Good point.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's the key about, I mean, it's like watching your cat do stuff and watching it like a sports fan.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I'm thinking. Yeah. That's kind of what... That's my greatest hope for this. I don't think we can get much more out of that.
That's what
I'm... Which is just idly rooting for one cat over the other.
That's kind of what
mean.
or for like, a, you know, for a comeback story or a close game or something.
Yeah.
But I like the idea of like the die roll determining it on a grid or something.
Yep.
That's sort of interesting.
Yeah.
I think the only problem with that is that it makes repeat rolls. We need to come up with some system for that.
Yeah, they just lose their turn.
We're
I don't know.
We're already on cat time, so so we're not going to have them re-roll until they get something right.
Yeah.
But then you don't want to have like complicated instructions or have the player choose them as a result if they're supposed to be sort of neutral, essentially. I kind of still think the easiest way is just a list of 20.
Mm-hmm.
I think you're right. You talked me out of you talked me out of my.
I feel a little bit like a bummer, kind of bringing us back to it, but
because
there's lots of interesting ways to go.
I think the thing that you said about bringing that back around. There's a difference between gameplay and game mechanics is really the issue that we're having.
Yeah,
because like the only critter in this mix who can play games without, you know, a lot of training, which is no longer part of the game, and then it's not fun. The only person or critter who can play games is the human.
Right.
And there's really no gameplay for the human right now. I think that's the thing that's tricking me up.
I think that's fair, but I guess I agree with Mark in that, like, effectively, you're, like, watching two cats compete, and I think it recontextualizes basic cat activity.
Well, it's all back to the thing you were saying about being a dungeon master.
Yeah.
That's what the human gets out of it.
And yes.
So that's why I want the human tasks and like human judging tasks. So sometimes it's just you have to do a thing, and sometimes you have to actually like make a call.
Uh-huh.
And you have to be objective and you can have fun with it.
Yeah.
And other times it is just watching the cats play.
Yeah.
Okay,
I did have a silly idea that I don't think is actually I don't think this is actually
I already, whatever this is, I already want it.
Okay, yes. Okay. Yep. Cat Taskmaster. That's all I have.
Cat Taskmaster.
Honestly, that's kind of what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like, so the tasks can be silly.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
I was thinking of them as like legitimate, structured cat competing, racing or something.
The key of Taskmaster, for listeners who don't know, is that there are two types of tasks on Taskmaster.
Yeah.
There's the get the Satsuma over the fence in the shortest time.
Yeah.
With both hands tied behind your back kind of tasks, then you just have a stopwatch. And then there's the write the most interesting poem using only 7 letters.
Yeah.
And then you're judged, right? So there's subjective and objective tasks in Taskmaster.
Yeah.
That's perfect for this.
Yeah.
Right? That's great.
There can be some tasks that are just it's only for one cat and they get X number of points, or some that's for both of them and they need to compete.
Yeah.
And that's the beauty of Taskmaster, is that the format is the same, but the individual components are wildly different from each other.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, Yeah, and with enough variety and enough silliness, it could be really fun.
Yeah, and for the human, there's kind of like a anticipation of what am I going to make my cats do next?
Yeah,
I think feels kind of
there's that plus kind of the like, oh wow, I made my cats arbitrarily do a task. How did they do it? This arbitrary task of
Right, exactly.
Three points for one cat.
Yeah,
2 points for the other.
Exactly. Yeah,
I like the idea that every task has a potential point value,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then they can get a number of points by finishing it. Or a number of points based on the quality of execution.
Yeah, I think structurally that's really key to something like this is that there needs to be like a common language for all of these things.
Yeah.
So that the human, it doesn't need to like look at the rule book all the time or whatever.
No. Yes.
That it can be something that they do play sort of idly. Mm-hmm.
So there are like two types of tasks. There's the judge's score task.
Yeah.
And then there's the, if you complete it, you get points task.
Yes. Now, I think the we haven't come up with a lot of these tasks yet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so I think the subjective tasks, I think, will be actually hard to design.
Yeah.
So I think I'm still thinking towards that the task can just be a question for the human to answer. Which cat has done X over the course of the competition award points for or something? Rather mm-hmm. than, like, make your cats put on a pageant or something.
Right.
You know, because it's like that feels like a little bit more involved than we could probably manage.
Sure.
But that isn't to say we can't have just purely a subjective task. I think they're just going to be a lot harder to design. So we may only have one or two or three of them.
We wanted 20 tasks in total on this list. Is that what you're thinking?
That feels kind of, or 20 things that happen when you roll a die. So maybe 15 tasks and 5 things. You know what I mean?
Sure.
But 20, yeah, the table would be 20, I think.
Okay.
I mean, it could be a D12. It's a little more manageable. Mm. But I think 20 would be nice because then like you might go months without doing some of them. Before you see them for the first time.
Yeah. So there's 20 different things on the die, but to do a game, you only do 5.
No, I think there would be like 10 or 15 games for the cats in terms of the tasks. And then the other die rolls would have the human do something.
Yeah, but I didn't understand the second part of what you said about like months might pass without you
If we're playing this game of the cats and it's based on their die rolls, they may never roll a 7. And so we never get to see task 7.
Yeah.
And then I've been playing this game with my cats for 3 years. They finally rolled a 7.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay,
you know what I
like
mean?
That, yep.
And so every experience will be sort of different. And I think 20 is a good number for that. You're not going to see all 20.
Yeah.
It's the challenge for us to come up with them all. Right. But then that should keep things interesting and some variety for a long time for the cat owner.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Maybe let's come up with 3 cat tasks and 2 human things.
Okay.
Cool. That seems pretty reasonable in the time we have left, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and the human task should be freaking bonkers.
I was thinking the opposite, but I'm fully happy to be swayed.
I mean, bonkers doesn't have to be, like, difficult or, like, drawn out or anything. Just, like, completely weird things.
Yeah. Okay, speaking of bonkers, I have an idea for one.
All right, let's do it.
Okay. Hold both cats in your hands out on your side.
Yep.
And whichever one jumps off first loses.
I love that.
Yeah, that's good.
I love that each human, like the human has to do the thing, but they still involve the cat.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good. That's a good example.
So, we've been talking about things that are cat or human, but like mm-hmm. there's really no limit to the variety that we can have for stuff like this.
Yeah. What kind of things do cats like to knock off of tables?
Yes.
Everything.
Okay. Yes. Yes, and everything. Great answers. So, okay, what if you just put some like stuffed animals on a table
and, right on the edge?
Yeah, and like they're different colors. You got blue ones. You got red ones. Whoever's one cat's blue, one cat's red. Whichever one has the most knocked down by the end of 30 minutes or something.
I like that.
Okay. Cool. Cool.
You put both cats on a coffee table.
Yep.
And you surround them with alternating colors of those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the game is over. Once the cats are both off the coffee table.
Oh, that's good.
Because I think that should be all our time limits should be just based on cat behavior. Because that's the other design pillar is cat time.
That's true.
Right? So so stopwatches maybe for who gets there first or whatever. But I think that way you can go and check in. And once they're off there, you can.
Yeah, yeah. You
know, and the cats may have cheated in the meantime, but who cares?
Yeah, yeah.
Cool. But I like that idea of like having, so this will be a kit. It'll have the die and it'll have a couple of like color-coded things that you use in multiple of these tasks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay. I didn't consider how much we'd add. I mean, Dale gave us the list, but I think we broke that rule early.
Oh, we did.
So I'm happy to totally break it. We're shipping a product here.
Right, mm-hmm, right, right. Mm-hmm. No, it's still a ball of various types. It works.
Yeah.
We got a lot of flexibility with that.
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. I like that. So that's a possible cat task.
Now, the alternate way to do this is to have two areas to, you know, do it once for each cat. And in which case, it's the result is more tied to what the cat did. Do you know, but that's neither here nor there.
I think it's okay for some of the challenges to be like both cats get the same number of points, you know.
No, I mean to say if you have the alternate, if you have the different colors, you might have cat A knocking over all cat B's toys.
Yeah, that can
in which
happen.
Case it's not, I mean, the illusion is broken in terms of it being proper competition.
Yeah, well, the cats aren't going to care. So
I think that's part of the fun of it. The cats don't care. So that's part of the...
No, I know, but I do think it's important for the human to be actually scoring the actual cat behavior.
Okay. Sure, no, that's fair.
So
I see.
This was my idea, but like partly it was my idea, but let's maybe change it to you set up two cats on in two different areas in the kitchen and surround them with objects.
Okay.
And then it ends when they're both outside their circles.
Yeah.
Right? And whoever knocked over the most.
Sure. Okay.
Okay.
Now, of course, you'll have cats knocking over none of them, but so it goes.
Yeah. That's
Then they just... Yeah,
I'm spending too long on this one idea, but you really, because I think there would be, you'd have to do a lot of playtesting for this to see like how often it would be that it doesn't work at all.
Yeah.
Which, you know, so.
Oh, that's true.
But we're not, let's not.
We don't have time.
We don't have
for
the
that.
Thought process.
Right. Yep.
Thought or, experiment that. We can just.
We don't have cats on hand to test it.
I know someone who knows cats, who has cats.
Oh, you do? Who's that?
Her name is Dale.
Oh.
She has access to so many cats.
That's true.
Honestly, this sounds like a really thing we should make.
I know. I'm really.
You say that every time.
I know. But this is like, this is like, I mean, when we were doing like the dog games, I was thinking something like, this would be so good if we can get it over the finish line.
Yeah.
But I felt like we just had so many great ideas, but it would need a lot of work.
Yeah.
This one feels like we could get it over the finish line. Okay, moving on.
Anyways, all right.
Third idea.
Okay. All right. Okay. Cat task. Mm-hmm. What do cats do? I have a list. They eat. They zoomies. They balance. They night vision.
We can have a treat put somewhere and see who gets there first.
Yeah.
I mean, it's easy.
Wouldn't that
but...
be a human task then?
No, the cats are the ones getting the treat.
Yeah, but like that's...
The humans just put the treat somewhere.
I got that, but I don't understand how that's different than a human creating an obstacle and then putting a cat in it.
I guess I was thinking of that as a cat task and not a human task.
Oh, okay, because I had written it under human task.
Ah.
Okay.
Yeah, I was thinking of that.
Yeah, I think a human task should not involve cat activity at all.
Okay, that's not what I wrote. I'm just not going to write anymore. I'm just going to close this.
No.
Nope.
Ellen.
I'm not doing it right. I'm not doing it right. I'm all confused.
No, we don't understand what you're confused about.
Yeah.
Well, look at my notes.
I don't have those in front of me.
Okay, well, that was probably part of the issue.
Okay.
As I'm now confused. Right? So I started this list of tasks times 20. We were only going to do 5 because once we kind of get the formula down, we can figure it out.
Yeah.
And I had written down it's hard to say. Cat task, which probably should be the name of the game because it's so hard to say.
Cat task,
cat task times 3. And then I had human task because we were going to split it up that way.
Yeah.
So then I started writing them down and then so I just put them in the wrong category and I'm just confused and sad.
You have one human task here, which is to hold both cats in your hands.
Yeah.
The human is just a prop in this task.
So then does that make it a cat task?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh.
Yeah, see?
Well, now I'm
see?
Confused.
Yep.
Okay, but that's fair.
Okay,
so
here, I'll come up with a human task,
yeah.
And maybe this will explain what it is.
That'll help.
So human task, which cat has played the most fair? Award 3 points.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Oh.
That's a human task.
So it's just a thing. Cats literally don't do anything. Humans just come up with...
That's just a new opportunity to be a GM.
Got it.
In a moment.
Cool. That's a whose line is it anyway sort of thing. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Much.
That makes sense then.
Yeah. Now there is the subjective task of like... put two cats on the edge of the couch, whichever one jumps off the most gracefully, award 3 points.
Yeah.
That's still a cat task.
Yeah, okay.
Right.
Right. Because the cats are the ones doing it.
Right, and you know, the terminology is
even if the human's
there.
Judging it.
Yeah.
Sure, okay.
But I was thinking about human tasks as just a thing for, just to break it up a little bit. Because I think one of the cool things about this would be that we identified early, which is that when you roll the die, you kind of have no idea how long it's going to take.
Yeah.
Or when the die is being rolled by the cat, because you don't know how long that's going to take
either. Right, that too. Yeah. Okay. Ellen had put make a loud meowing sound whichever cat meow looks at you first gets it.
Oh! That's really good.
That is really good. Yeah. Whatever cat looks.
Oh,
at
I
you
love that one.
Points, that's good.
Yes, because getting a cat's attention—that's a challenge.
So that's a cat task, though, right? Because
it is a cat task.
Okay. I'm starting to understand it better.
That's so good. Okay, so we have three cat task examples.
Yeah.
And one human task example.
Yeah.
Maybe one more human task example and maybe one more cat task example.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm for that. I have an idea for a cat task.
Yes.
So you, once again, one human, two cats, right?
Right. Yep.
So you put like the same number of treats in each hand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And call the cats over, and whichever finishes them, their handful of treats first is the winner.
I like that.
Okay. Okay. Yep. Seems like a cat thing.
Okay, I'll write that down.
Human relating to cats, but cats don't do anything. The only thing, see, the thing is, I always, whenever I hear about people having cats, is like they talk about how they got scratched by the cat or got bitten by the cat. And I want that to be a competition somehow, but that doesn't seem fun.
Yeah, it also doesn't seem, I think there would be some lawsuits at the end of that.
Right, yeah, so maybe not that. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
This is maybe another cat task.
Okay.
Put something on top of the cat's head, like a present sticker, you know, like a bow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Or like a, maybe just a toy.
Mm-hmm. Right. Make the cat look like a real dork.
Make the cat look like a real dork, and then you can like time the cat to see how long it takes them to shake it off. And then whichever cat shakes it off faster is the winner for
that's
that
a round. That's a good time.
I almost think whoever keeps it on the longest.
Yeah.
Because that's the like challenge, that right?
Yep. Whoever keeps it on the longest. I like that one.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
That is good. I like
that. Okay. Human task.
Yes.
So because this game should have some rubber banding
okay,
to be engaging if it's going to take a long time.
Yeah.
So a human task should be pick a cat you feel sorry for, award 5 points.
Yeah. No, that's great. That's perfect. I like that.
And because it's going to come up randomly, you don't know. And it may come up multiple times.
Yeah.
Right? And that may actually end up putting a cat way in the lead. Like,
yeah. I like that so much.
I mean, that's the spirit of Taskmaster is like the points are determined by rigid rules and structures.
Yeah.
But they do not matter at all.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Okay. Can one human task, would this work as a human task? Mm-hmm. Which cat woke you up most recently? Award that cat. -3 points.
Yeah, -3 points.
That's the thing a cat does, though.
Yeah.
So that's a cat task.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right. Fair enough.
I mean, it's not a bad idea. But, you know, well, I mean, yeah, this would involve all playtesting and balance. And,
yeah.
Because you want you want a good variety of things, too. So,
right.
Because you might have die rolls that lean towards a certain type of thing, which would be sort of interesting because then it would really color the whole experience.
Yeah.
But ultimately, on average, you'd have roughly even distributed of types of activities.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Someone involved the cats doing this something at the same time. Someone involved one then the other. Someone involved maybe just one.
Yeah.
You know, like maybe there's on the die there's cat A gets number 6 and cat B gets number 7 and it's the same task.
Sure.
Or whatever, just give them an opportunity.
Yeah.
So that there'd be lots of fun and just the sort of unknowability of what's gonna happen next I think would be really enjoyable.
Yeah.
Human task. Pick the cat that looks the sleepiest. That currently looks the sleepiest and award them X points.
Cool.
Oh, you know what it should be is pick the cat that looks the sleepiest and they and sit them out for the next round.
Oh.
You know? Like the human task should be a little bit more than just awarding some points. Some more variety there.
Yeah,
that may not be playtestable because other tasks may not be suitable to have a cat removed from them.
Sure.
But, you know, in the case of like the putting them in a circle and knocking them over, if you only do it for one cat, then they are only eligible for points. That will work.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd need to balance all these things in all the combinations of them.
Yeah.
But it might be fun to have some tasks which determine the change things for the next task. This is the same thing that makes Glom so replayable is that like there's all the infinite combinations.
Right, right, right.
So having them engage not only spatially on the die but temporally in terms of the order which they're done I think would make an infinite number of experiences.
You know what would be interesting is if you had like instead of maybe like I'm not sure how this would work but basically like you draw the challenge and then the points are a separate thing.
Like how many points it's worth?
Yeah, so like the results are the challenge or like the thing that has to be done and the results are occasionally different. I'm not sure. We don't need to play around with that.
Yeah. Right. Okay. That does go to the if we play tested something like this, like how much of the time playing would be the die rolling if you're making the cats do it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like it's too good an idea not to like hold on to, but yes. It might be something that ultimately just give the human a die.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That might be what we end up with ultimately, but yeah. But in which case you then have the ability to have the player roll the die more often,
right?
To do things,
and they could that would maybe determine points. Or
that's something. Sort of a to be determined kind of thing, I suppose. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I think we got a good idea for what these things could be. We can go on forever and ever, mm-hmm. but maybe let's see if we can in the just minute we have left, talk about how the game would end, because that's been hanging over this whole time.
Yes,
and it honestly could just be after X number of tasks. That's how Taskmaster works.
That is how Taskmaster. After you've completed all 20 tasks, it could take 3 weeks.
You're going to be rolling duplicates a lot, so that'll just take forever.
It can't
forever.
Be all the tasks. Okay, so it just has to be a number of tasks.
Yeah, I said it a couple times already. I don't love that, but also now that we have an idea for what these things are, I dislike that less.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
I guess.
Yeah.
It could also just be, actually, you know what? It's cat time. So how about it's after a week? Because who knows how many tasks you're going to get through. Okay. You might only get through two tasks.
Yeah, yeah.
In that whole week.
You might only choose one task.
Yeah. Like, or you know, maybe at the beginning of the thing, you just pick an end date.
Yeah.
Of your own, you know. We'll have some mechanism for which you would choose.
Yeah.
And some way to determine what's a good amount of time.
Whichever cat has the most points.
By April 2nd at 4 p.m. You know, sure, something like that.
Yeah.
Like, see how much cat time can fit in this time.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, that's cool.
That could be sort of how it's phrased.
I like it.
I mean, it's equally arbitrary, but it feels like there's something more to it.
The points seem to matter a bit more. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it's silly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is great.
Yeah.
I think that, the fun thing would be, if this were to be a real thing, is to have, a product with a box with a couple of props.
Yeah.
Not too many. But, yeah. And then the rule book that has all the tasks on it. Like, that's a great thing you could sell at a pet store or at a Target. Like,
yeah.
And it's a thing that does not exist on this earth. Like,
yeah.
That kind of game. I mean, we don't have time, but like, I want to make it.
Alan came up with a name.
Also, how do you, like, that's the thing about things like this is like, this is an invention more than it is a game. Like, in a lot of ways, mm-hmm. in terms of how we need to bring it to the world.
Right.
Like, it's something you'd kind of have to do a Kickstarter for, because there's no market for it.
Yes.
It's a, you know, you'd have to. There's no publisher to pitch this to.
You have to hope that it can be proven out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we take it to Dale's mom's for playtesting. Mm-hmm. But also, I think this is something that my mother-in-law would do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's engaging enough, but also not, like, she wouldn't feel embarrassed to play this.
Yeah.
In the way that I think that the more, like, it would become a little sillier when you start, like, doing a ton of die rolls, or you do a ton of, like, you know, you can kind of feel silly if you're sort of not the type of person who plays a lot of games.
Yeah.
But if you're the type of person who plays with your pets, there's a kind of silly you're happy to look.
Right.
Right?
Right.
That there is no end to that, no matter how serious a person you are.
Yeah.
And I think this fits that really well.
Yeah.
So I had two, Cat Tasker is one name.
Right.
Uh-huh.
And then Task Catser.
Right. We do have to come up with a name, and I would like it to maybe not be a pun on Taskmaster, even though that's a clear inspiration.
Ellen had just said Cat Tasks. I mean, it's not a pun.
I like, you said this earlier, like Cat Time.
Cat Time.
Like Cat Time.
That's the name.
It's time for Cat Time.
Yeah, it's Cat Time.
Oh, we've been playing a little bit of Cat Time. I feel like that's good.
Yeah, I like Cat Time.
That's good.
Yeah. I like Cat Time a lot.
Cat Time's the name. Perfect. That's our show. We post show notes and such on our website, nicegames.club. Go there to find the rules of the game we made today. Visit us on social media at Nice Games Club, where Dale posts about game dev resources and cutting a feature. Reply on the various platforms or email us, contact@nicegames.club. Nice Games Club is on Patreon. Support the show and get stuff, including ad-free episodes. Sign up at patreon.com/nicegamesclub. And if you want to keep things more casual, just stop by nicegames.club/discord and say hello.
So until we start again, remember to
play nice.
Did we catch that? Yeah, I think we caught that.
We did?
Yeah.
Good.
Cool.
That'll go at the end of the show. Let's give Ellen a bit tough time to chew.
We had a whole thing about tacos, and I'm the one who ends up eating on the air. But now I get it, because it's hard to eat while you're laughing. Say something. This is so awkward. I can't handle it.
The floor is yours at the moment.
No.
Oh, no, Ellen.
Okay, I'm good.
All right, cool.
I'm good.
Cool.
All right, we'll put that at the end of the show.
Yeah. That's great.